Elliot Friedman is our NHL insider, Hockey Night in Canada and Sportsnet, as he joins us in the program with Walker and Rintoul. Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good. How are you boys doing?
We're doing okay. Talking a little Matt Duchene today. As really, is there another situation in the NHL? I know we talked about him with you last week. Is there another situation in the NHL that we look at with controversy like this one? I don't know if there's another malcontent situation. Maybe last year it was Jacob Trouba, and this year it's Matt Duchene, right?
Well, a couple of years we had Drouin a couple of years ago.
That's right, right. Yeah.
So I mean, that's probably the closest one to this one. In terms of how long it kind of lasted, you know, I'm not so sure that Trouba's unhappy in Winnipeg. You know, Myers got hurt last year. He got a lot of chance to play right D, so he was happy with that. I would certainly think that right now, Duchene is the one we're all watching.
Do you think, what's the biggest reason for a deal holdup, in your opinion? Would it be just the
ask is very high.
The ask is very high. Now, would that be because they already lost that Ryan O'Reilly deal, and how gun-shy would Joe Sakic be?
I don't think the answer is gun-shy, but I think he realizes that they've got to get, you know, if you take a look back to that Ryan O'Reilly deal, you know, Zadorov was, he was a prospect, but he wasn't like a super prospect by any imagination, even though he was a first-round pick. Grigorenko was a guy who, you know, was not highly regarded at the time. You know, Comfort looks like he's going to be a player, but I don't think they really got anybody in that deal that you would have looked at and said, that's a blue chipper.
Right.
And the deal's not looking that good. So I think they kind of look at it like, I don't think gun-shy is the word, but I think they want to give them something. Like, no trade's a guarantee. You could make any trade, and it looks like it's going to be fantastic on paper, and either it's going to work or it doesn't. Sometimes you look at trades that don't work, and you say, I don't know how we screwed this one up. But you have to at least give yourself a chance. And I think what Colorado is doing is saying, we've got to give ourselves more of a chance at a better return than this one, a blue chipper.
We know that multiple teams have kicked tires, Vancouver being among them. Have the Canucks circled back in recent days?
I don't know. I just don't see I don't see the match, really. I'm sure, like, when it's your job as a GM or whoever's making the calls at this time for the Canucks to say, all right, has anything changed? And you go back and you check in. But, you know, I don't get the sense, and I could always be wrong. I mean, certainly it's happened before. I could always be wrong, but I don't get the sense that Vancouver is one of the places that Duchene's going to end up. Like, they're at the top of what Colorado is going to do. I mean, number one, like, if you're Vancouver and you're really rebuilding, are you going to trade for a guy and you're going to give up what Colorado wants, and you're going to do it for someone who could be gone in 2 years?
Mm-hmm.
Like, unless you're convinced Matt Duchene is resigning with you, or you're going to flip him for something that's even better, I don't see why it makes sense for Vancouver to be the team. The last time, you know, I went through my notes, you know, when Scotty, you were texting me today, the last time I've ever heard Vancouver and Colorado really mentioned with each other was over Tyson Barrie. There was a time a couple of years ago, I think it was the fall of 2015, when Tyson Barrie was kind of on the block, and it was before he signed his extension, and I think he was interested in Vancouver, and they were interested in him, and they had some conversations, and I don't think that Vancouver wanted to trade Ben Hutton. I think that was one of the reasons that it didn't happen. But that's the last time I've really heard the Canucks and the Avalanche in any kind of serious conversation.
I agree with you, Elliot. It feels more like due diligence than anything else to see Vancouver mentioned with Colorado and Matt Duchene. Elliot Friedman, Hockey Night in Canada. He joins us here on Sportsnet 650. It's the program with Walker and Rintoul. While we're talking Canucks and defensemen get brought up, Olli Juolevi, the source of some consternation. I'm not going to say great consternation among the fans here, but some consternation as to where he's at, how he's developing. What do you make of where he is?
You know, it's funny. I was talking to a couple of scouts and executives who were out there in the Penticton tournament, and then I watched Juolevi in game one against Vegas at home, and you know, nobody had a good night for Vancouver that night, that's for sure. But the point that this guy made to me, and I think it's a really good point, is, you know, when you take a look at where the guy was drafted, he thinks the biggest problem that the kid has is that when you get drafted fifth overall, people think that you're going to be like this dynamic thing. They wait for you to do things that are spectacular. Oh, he's the fifth overall pick. Like, that's big. He should be able to be a difference maker in a certain way, or exciting. And he said that Ylevi, when he makes the NHL, and he thinks he's going to be an NHL player and a decent one, he said he's not going to be spectacular. He's going to be solid. Like, all the plays he makes are very quiet, and when he's at his best, he plays a pretty quiet game. And, you know, he just thinks that, you know, if the people in Vancouver are going to expect Ylevi to be this spectacular, outstanding, rush the puck up and down the ice kind of guy, then they're always going to be disappointed. And they're just going to have to accept the fact that he's not that, but he can still be a very good player. And I just think that if Ylevi's going to turn into a good player there, he's just going to do it in a way where you really have to be looking to understand how good he can be.
Yeah, young hotshot forwards are always going to, not always, but they always seem to make a quicker impact on say, a fan base, right, or a stat sheet. I know there was the big Hanifin or Mitch Marner thing in Toronto. Well, Mitch Marner scoring 50, 60 points, and Noah Hanifin's a young defenseman in a tough league. He doesn't look flashy, right? Darnell Nurse was seventh overall at Edmonton. Not a flashy guy, but you know he's going to be important there. The same with Adam Larson and Seth Jones. The storyline has always been the same for these guys.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, there is some evidence, I know, among the analytics community, that one of the things they're talking about is it really true that a defenseman needs 300 games? That sometimes, do you really know if a defenseman's going to be a good player earlier on? And I know there's some debate over that. But I do agree with you from a pure production point of view. I think you know on forwards pretty quickly. I think you get a good idea. You don't see a lot of guys who don't score at the junior level or the AHL level or the international level or NCAA level that suddenly become big scorers at the NHL level. It very rarely, if ever, happens. But defensemen, I think there are different ways to grade them. Can they make a pass? Can they take the puck off people? I think that's kind of the key. And, you know, one of the perfect examples of that, I would say, is Klefbom in Edmonton. When they signed that big contract, there were a lot of people who knew him well who said to me, you know, the one thing people are going to understand is that guy's never going to be a scorer. He's just going to get the puck out of your zone and be a really solid player. And all of a sudden, last year, that guy had 13 goals. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if Ylevi's going to go that way, but I do think if you're expecting him to be this spectacular, spine-tingling, outstanding, edge-of-your-seat kind of player, you're never going to be satisfied with what he is, because even at the fifth overall pick, he's not going to be that.
He is Elliot Friedman. He joins us on the program with Walker and Rintoul, four preseason games in a row for the Vancouver Canucks starting tomorrow night as they take on the Calgary Flames. Are you a little surprised with, like, we're two preseason games in, and players, notably Brad Marchand, but among others, seem to be impassioned at these new faceoff rules?
Yeah, you know what? I'm never going to rip a guy for being honest. Like, we always complain that NHL players, never say anything. And so Brad Marchand comes out today, and I'm sure the league was really thrilled to hear those comments.
It's ruining hockey, he said.
It's ruining hockey. The one thing I like about it is that I don't see what the big deal is with tinkering with your game. They're trying something and see if it works. As a matter of fact, I think there's too many people who are afraid to try things because they're worried they're going to get criticized. And I don't agree with that. I think why not try it? Why not see how it works? What I would rather them do is, instead of trying it throughout the year and then it dies out and later in the regular season we get close to the playoffs, is You try it for the preseason and then see if you want to do it for the regular season. Like, I think the slashing one's here to stay. I don't think that's going anywhere, and players are going to have to deal with the fact that you're not going to be able to take wax at other people's wrists and fingers anymore. But the face-off one, like, I was surprised. I didn't know about it. And all of a sudden, like, I was working last night, the Ottawa-Toronto game, and the Washington-New Jersey one started before us, and all of a sudden they had three penalties for that in that game, and then three in ours pretty quick. The big issue that we saw last night was there was one where the linesman called Connor Brown for Toronto for the faceoff violation, and Zach Smith the whole time had his left skate over the line. But the linesman was looking at Brown because Brown was gliding, and also I think where he had his hand up to drop the puck might have been blocking off Smith's left skate. So, like, you can't focus on both guys. A smart player, and Smith is a smart player, he may have seen that the linesman was looking at Brown, and he cheated, and he got away with it. I think he thought he was getting the penalty, and Brown got it. So I think there's a lot of things to work out, but I never see anything wrong with saying, we're going to try a few things, and let's see how it goes. I respectfully disagree with Brad Marchand at this point on that one.
While we're talking about preseason hockey, some lopsided results, some interesting results, and most people don't care, but in Calgary last night, the Flames lose, and Mike Smith doesn't look very good. It's only one game, but this is a team coming off what happened with Brian Elliott last year, specifically in the playoffs. At what point is there concern if his game doesn't come around in the preseason?
Oh, my God. Scotty, it's the first game of the preseason.
I know, but you know that fan base. You go on that radio station there. You know how they've been with goaltenders.
Do we got you there, Elliott? Okay, we'll reconnect with Elliott Friedman in a second. Or he was so incensed at your awful question that, no, listen, the way to ask that, and I know what you're saying, is there such a thing as a bad preseason result?
And I'm on the side of it's one preseason game, but you know what that fan, you worked in that city. And so what was the one thing people thought was standing between the Calgary Flames and potential advancement doing something?
The most important position in the sport, and that is your goaltender. And there's a risk, right? There is a risk in bringing in a goalie that has had his crazy ups and downs, right? In Mike Smith. And they couldn't bring back Brian Elliott again. After that display against the Anaheim Ducks, he basically, I don't know if he single-handedly lost in the series, but he single-handedly ended that series pretty quick. There's no doubt. Dressing a veteran lineup and having your rival come in and your goalie allow a bunch of bad goals, like it's not a good look. But no one in the right mind is going to say that someone should be concerned.
Well, and I guess more what I was trying to ask is, at what point do we get through the preseason into October where Mike Smith better start looking pretty good, or else there'll be a little heat from those fans?
I mean, Brian Elliott had an awful start in Calgary.
Yeah, he did.
Right? Awful start.
And so it was really difficult for him to win people back, even though he had a great stretch in the season.
But it wouldn't have mattered because they had a great second half. They saved their season. Brian Elliott, perception or not, was a huge part of that. And then they got into the playoffs. Once you get into the playoffs, it's a fresh start. It's a clean sheet of ice. And then he had just four dreadful games, and that was it, right? He could have had a way worse regular season than he actually did. But, hey, the playoffs are where perceptions become reality.
No question about it. And this is where we go back to the conversation you and I have had before. Sometimes it's not that you lose, it's how you lose. It's not that the Calgary Flames lost to the Anaheim Ducks last year, it's how they lost. And, again, it's one game. I guess I'm saying, how much leeway in Calgary do they have? Is it October, November? Where is it?
Well,
we've got Elliott on the line now.
Yeah, Elliott Friedman rejoins us. I think what my partner here was trying to say is, or trying to ask, is there such a thing as a bad or concerning preseason result?
I really believe that the veterans don't really care until week two. Like, so I think if Smith is having trouble in right before the regular season, then talk to me then. But right now, let's let him get adjusted.
He should build a new arena for them. They'll love him.
Yes, they will. Or at least, maybe not the mayor will, but the rest of them will like it.
He is Elliot Friedman. He joins us on the program with Walker and Rintoul. I know the city of Toronto is getting set for Jose Bautista's final homestand, likely final six games as a Toronto Blue Jay. You been thinking about Jose Bautista this week at all?
You know what? I hope they give him the proper send off.
Yeah.
You know, he was a controversial guy. Like, the bad flip. He definitely has a guy who has a huge chip on his shoulder. I think at times he felt he wasn't properly respected, and I think that comes with a guy who was really counted out and was definitely not a big trade when he got traded. But he had a huge impact here. He's one of the best players in franchise history. There's no question about it. And even though it's not, you know, it's not ending well, no question. I hope people don't remember to find him by the last year, and they remember everything that happened here because he did a great job for this franchise.
Yeah, it's funny how it ends, right? It's difficult to see a player who's obviously had his skills somewhat diminished, and maybe it happened pretty quickly between the end of last year and this year. But when you play the way he plays, it's difficult to watch from afar somebody with that much pride have the type of season he is.
Yeah, I agree with that. And it sucks and it hurts and it's painful in a lot of ways. And but you know what? I think at the end of the day, when people sit back, like I just told, you know, it's funny, we had this argument on The Fan, and Cox, who hates everything, disagreed with me. I said, I think the team should honor him. I think they should do something special for him, whether it's a video or something like that, because they know this is going to be it. And he said, well, you can't do that because the decision's not made. Nobody's ever done that before. And I said, well, why not be the first? You know what? You can do something different. Like, I don't know if they're going to do that, but I would. I mean, I'm amazed at Bautista. Like, you know, there were times I looked at him and I was just like, you know, Jose, like, enjoy life. You know, you've had a hell of a run here. But there's other, but, like, I guess that you can't change who you are. If you're that guy and it's what makes you great, then that's the way you got to be.
I remember last year, so the San Antonio Spurs and the fans and, like, everyone said goodbye to Manu Ginobili, right? And there was this big thing. And then in the offseason, he signed a new two-year deal. I said it was like...
You throw enough money to the guy and he'll stay.
It was like saying goodbye to somebody at the subway and then going down and then you're looking across the... like you're looking across the tracks at each other. It's that awkward non-goodbye, goodbye. I don't know.
Yeah, you know what? I think they should do it anyway. What the heck?
Yeah, I would maybe, agree. Especially you this, know what? Especially this
you know
year.
What? Yeah, it's been a nightmare of a year, and you know the interest isn't there as much as it used to be. You know, give them a reason to go and have some excitement and leave everybody with a better feeling as opposed to, you know, it's like give everybody a better feeling the way you leave. That's what I would do.
He is Elliot Friedman. He joins us on the program every
Rintoul, are you sending me texts and during the interview?
That's how I roll, buddy.
What are you texting him?
Hey, I'm texting him stuff.
All right.
He's got bone spurs in his ankle, man. He needs to heal up.
We'll get to the bottom of this. Hey, thanks for this. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. No worries, guys. And hey, guys, it's. You know what? It's funny. I was watching the Vegas game the other night. When I saw it was 9-4, I was like, oh, my God. I know what this is going to lead to. I always tell people, it's week one. Everybody take a deep breath.
Well, that was a rookie game.
Like, that was pond hockey.
Sure.
Yes, it was a rookie game. And, like, all those Vegas guys are playing their first game for a new uniform. Yeah, you know what? I think everybody just needs to calm down. Like, it's one game for Mike Smith. It's one game for the rookies. Let's go.
You're right, but we can agree on this. That doesn't matter. But tomorrow's a must win.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
we can all agree. Perfect. Okay.
if they don't get 3 out of 4 points, John, don't let them back in the country.
That's true. He is Elliot Friedman, our NHL insider. Thanks for this. Have a good evening.
All right, take care.
All right, that is Elliot Friedman.